Hello and welcome to the Down Under Visa Philippines to Australia podcast. I'm your host, Jeff Harvey, registered migration agent from Down Under Visa here in Manila. Now today we're going to be talking about a blog post on the Down Under Visa website, as we normally do. This one is entitled, Fiancé from Philippines, Still Legally Married. Okay. Now we get many inquiries from lovesick Australian men who've met Filipina girls who've stolen their hearts, and being the positive and trusting chaps that Aussies tend to be, the fact that the lady is still legally married often doesn't faze them. They will assume they can go ahead and marry her and that this issue will be resolved very simply. She will soon have a partner visa or a prospective marriage visa, also known as fiancé visa, and she will be on a plane for Australia before you know it. And poor old Jeff has to be the one to tell them the bad news that it's not that simple. Okay, misunderstandings about Philippines marriages. The Philippines is one of two countries remaining in the world that has no legal divorces. The other is Vatican City. Now, Australia has had no-fault divorce since the enactment of the Family Law Act in 1975, along with the establishment of the Family Court the same year. It's not actually that long ago, but then again, I suppose I'm an old bloke in 1975. I can still remember it very well. Plenty of our listeners won't remember 1975 at all, and they will only know about no-fault divorce. And the way that works is that the only grounds for divorce in Australia is an irretrievable breakdown of the marriage, evidenced by 12 months separation. No other proof is required, nothing else is listened to. You can't go into the divorce court and say she did this or he did that. Doesn't come into it. If you've been apart for 12 months, that's evidence enough and they will accept that and the marriage will end in divorce. Now, it makes for fairly quick and easy divorces for Australians, and given that it's been law for more than 40 years now, there would be very few left alive who would be actually familiar with anything else. You know, back in my grandmother's day, she divorced back in the 1940s, and it took years, and there were public court hearings where they had to air their dirty laundry in public. Not like that anymore. The Philippines has annulments. Now that requires the establishment of a psychological impairment in one of the parties that showed that they didn't understand what they were committing to when they were otherwise legally married in the first place. Definitely not simple. In other words, I mean, most of us probably understand that, okay, if you had somebody sign a contract and that person was drunk at the time, okay, well then they will... that contract can be declared null and void because the person wasn't capable of making that decision and entering into that contract at the time. So it's the same basic principle with an annulment. So yeah, it's a fair old bit of legal fiddling and it's certainly not straightforward. Common misconceptions. This is the type of thing that we come across all the time when somebody is saying, oh, look, you know, they shouldn't need that because this is the situation. Okay, he ran off and abandoned her a number of years ago. It'll be, oh, he disappeared. You know, she hasn't heard from him for 7 years, 14 years, 18 years, whatever it happens to be. Sorry, but running off does not dissolve a legally binding marriage. It doesn't work that way in Australia either. Exactly the same thing if you take off on your wife and, you know, come back in 5 years' time, you don't suddenly discover that your marriage disappeared in the meantime. Unless you actually do something legally about it, that marriage still stays in place. And that's the situation in the Philippines. So that doesn't come into it. He never supported the children. It's a fairly common scenario here, actually. There seem to be a lot of fairly irresponsible fellows here who do exactly that. They're quite happy to make the girl pregnant, but they don't do anything about supporting. They take off and they leave mum to raise the kids by herself. But again, as above, still married, even if the kids... And if the kids were born in wedlock, he will still have legal custody, even if he is a terrible father. Now, be aware that this will cause issues if the kids are included in a partner visa, or if you happen to apply for a dependent child visa for the child at a later stage. And even an annulment doesn't automatically dissolve the rights of the father to his children. So don't assume. Never assume. Okay, here's another one. He was still married when he married her. Get this one a lot. We have the story of, oh, look, it turned out that he was a dastardly chap and he was married to somebody else, or married to several people, or he's buggered off and married somebody else, and you know, which is highly illegal here, obviously. But yes, it may well be grounds for the court to dissolve that marriage if it turns out that you know, that marriage is, could be declared null and void based on the fact that one party was already married. But it still needs to be proved. It's not just a case of turning up and saying, you know, oh, hey, but he was married before, and them going, well, why didn't you say so? Well, that's it. That marriage is over and done with. I'm just going to tear the document up and you can go on your merry way. It's not that simple. It still requires just as much rigmarole as going through an annulment. So be aware of that. Here's another one. We were going to marry in Australia. Wrong. Now, that's called bigamy. Now, it's a crime in Australia. It's also a crime here. You can't marry twice. Australia does recognise legal marriages that took place here in the Philippines, and they won't allow a second marriage. So, no, it doesn't quite work like that. Then we get the one, well, yes, the lawyer. You know, the lawyer hears there's a white man involved and what have you, and he starts making amazing promises. So we get, the lawyer said an annulment would cost X amount of pesos and it would take 3 months or 6 months. Or we get the one where if we pay an extra 50,000, it'll only be done in this length of time, as if, you know, you can order up the the length of processing time that you want. Look, realistically, I mean, people will say that. They'll say, oh, yeah, the lawyer said 4 months. And I will just say to them, most annulments take 12 months or more, and the outcome and the certainty and certainly the timing is not predictable. And yes, some attorneys do lie. Unfortunately, it is it's something that happens here, and it will be particularly the case if there's a white face there and if the lawyer sees money to be made. So yeah, it's not going to be done quickly. It's as simple as that. And then we get the other one. We thought she could come to Australia on a tourist visa, organise a divorce in Australia for her, and then we can marry. Wrong again. Now, please understand here, I cannot and will not advise on matters of family law. I'm certainly no specialist in family law. I just ran this question by a colleague of mine who is a lawyer, and he said he wasn't sure either. So it's something you need to find out. He's absolutely from a family law specialist lawyer in Australia, but I've never heard of anyone on a tourist visa getting an Australian divorce. It'd be a fairly, well, basically, if it was as simple as that, everybody would do it. Nobody would get an annulment. They'd get a tourist visa to Australia and they'd go, right, one divorce, please. Look, it can be done later if the lady becomes an Australian resident, but I can't advise on this, and I'm not in a position to tell you exactly how long that will be, but you are certainly not an Australian resident while you're there on a tourist visa. So consult an Australian lawyer if you want to find out absolutely, but certainly do not count on being able to, you know, hop on a plane, go to Australia, or get a divorce, marry, and apply for a partner visa, and then everything will be fine. If only life were that simple. But even organising a partner visa without everything else to organise in 3 months is going to be a bit of a challenge. So be very, very careful. Okay, solutions when she's already married. Now, the first solution is the one that absolutely nobody likes to hear. Patience. In other words, you wait it out and you jump through the legal hoops that the system has in place for you. Again, nobody wants to hear that. And look, I've talked about this before. I understand absolutely, and my goodness, I don't drag things out for people because I think it's ripping good fun. I don't. I understand. I sympathise. You've met that person and you are there with them and you do not want to be apart from them. I understand absolutely. You're going home to your empty house to, you know, lie there in your empty bed. Yes, I remember my empty bed. Well, actually, it wasn't that empty. I used to do paperwork and rubbish on one side. On one side of the bed because it wasn't getting used now, was it? Now I can remember very well, and it's an awful thing. But you do it right, or you don't do it at all. It's you're dealing with legal systems. You're dealing with government departments. There is no place for shortcuts and no place for saying, "But we're in love, please, Mister. Can you, you know, make some allowances here?" They don't. So you have to do it properly. So again, patience. So what that means is find a good and reputable attorney in the Philippines who has a good reputation for successful annulment. Avoid the cowboys with promises of speedy delivery, like I said before. Look, what you will find is that certain courts will be authorised for family law. So to help you to understand this, there were courts which used to be approved for family law matters in the Philippines, which are now not approved because of corruption within those courts. The government has said, right, that court may no longer handle family law matters. This is what you're dealing with when corruption gets into the system. And the first place it starts is with the lawyer promising you deals. You come across a lawyer, well, I always call them attorneys here. You come across an attorney who tells you the truth that you're certainly looking at 12 months and he doesn't make any outlandish promises. Well, you've probably found the right attorney. And it's going to be done done close to the hometown where the marriage took place. So, if the marriage took place in Mindanao, don't go and find an attorney in Manila, because otherwise you're going to be paying for that attorney to go trekking down there. And look, there are advantages when a particular attorney is familiar with that particular court. Somebody shunting down from Manila, they don't have any particular advantage. They can be at a disadvantage. And what that also means is, please don't ask us, do we know somebody? We gave up recommending attorneys years ago because when things go wrong, people start complaining to us. And plus, again, you need somebody who is local. Second point, you rich white man, stay out of it. You can't find her an attorney from your computer at home, and you sticking your nose in it will more than likely lead to further delays and costs. So don't talk to the attorney. Don't turn up in the court. I've had clients over the years who said, "Oh, she's getting her annulment. I'm going to be in the court every day." And I've said, "Don't do that, because you could simply make it worse." Yeah, additional fees, additional obstacles can suddenly appear in your way, and those are things that cost extra money. So, don't do it. I had somebody once where, look, it's a fairly standard thing here is, you get married, we're not talking corruption here, you get married, the paperwork is in the local civil registrar in the local city hall. If you ask them very nicely, they will expedite that paperwork to the National Statistics Office, where you can get yourself a marriage certificate. One particular character I remember, I said, let the family do it. Suddenly I got an email from him saying, they said it would take 6 months. I said, you went in there, didn't you? He said, yes. I said, okay, don't go in there again. Let the family go in there. The family went in there. It was done in 30 days. They saw him. They saw an opportunity to make money. So don't do it. Stay out of it. Let you know, difficult though it may be, you're not going to find the local attorney on... you're not going to find them on the internet. Forget it. Just, you know, let the family sort it out. Let them ask around. Find somebody reputable. Okay? And watch out for, again, watch out for anybody who makes outlandish promises. And be prepared for a long wait. Okay? In most cases, that's what you're going to have to do. Sorry, I just hit the microphone then. Okay, other option, less patience, but a bit of flexibility. Now, you may apply for a partner visa based on two different scenarios. The first and most popular is by marriage, either marrying before or marrying a bit later on a fiancé visa, prospective marriage visa, that is, as long as you are both legally free to marry. The other option is via a de facto relationship. So if you are in a de facto relationship of 12 months or more, we may lodge a partner visa application based on that de facto relationship. Okay. Now, the second option applies even if one or both of you are still legally married to someone else, as long as that relationship, the relationship that went with that marriage, is well and truly over. Okay. But please note that you need to be in an existing and committed de facto relationship and have been in that relationship for 12 months or more. So you can't say, yes, right, let's start one of those. Visa, please. You need to commence leading a shared life with your Filipino lady or Filipino gentleman 12 months before the application is lodged. And it needs to be a solid shared life arrangement where you both think and act as one. Now, we do get quite a few applicants who've been... the annulment's just dragged and dragged. And, you know, they're finding every time the judge goes on holiday, oh, you know, they have a hearing for September. September comes about, oh, well, the judge has gone on holidays, or the attorney's gone on holidays, or all of a sudden they say, oh, they want something else. And the whole thing just keeps dragging, and they get to a point where they're pulling their hair out. And sometimes I suggest, well, this is... you can look at applying based on a de facto relationship. So I will explain a little bit more. Not a bad option for many yet. We find that many couples have in fact been doing just this, and sometimes they've been doing this for a few years before they looked into getting an annulment. And in other cases, we give couples guidance into what constitutes a solid de facto relationship and what they need to put in place so that after 12 months, they are ready to apply for a partner visa without having to go through all the trouble of an annulment. So it is a possibility, but look, it does require a commitment, and it does require flexibility. It's not a simple, straightforward, you know, where do I sign and then let's get that application in. It does require a bit of work, okay. And just note that you can have gaps in a 12-month period of a de facto relationship if those gaps are unavoidable. You don't need to have a solid, unbroken period of 12 months of cohabitation if visa provisions and the need for work has made this difficult. In other words, one of you needs to work and therefore can't live in the Philippines for a year. That's quite understandable. And if the lady can't get 12 months in Australia on tourist visas in order to do this, it is understandable. As long as you have commenced a de facto relationship and you continue to live and function as a committed couple leading a shared life, we can do this. And down under visa, we have a lot of experience in this area and we are happy to help. We have training, well, I suppose you call them training modules, the modules to advise you and guide you into the things that you need to put into place so they can see that you do have a committed de facto relationship. Because just simply being living together, it's not as simple as that. There are people who assume, we get people saying, can I have a 12-month tourist visa because we want to then apply for a partner visa at the end because we'll have been together for 12 months. And you get at the end of 12 months and find they've been living together as boyfriend and girlfriend, but they haven't been living together as a de facto couple. The relationship is, you know, very romantic and, you know, they share the same bed and everything else. And in some cases, couples can have kids together, but it doesn't actually mean in itself they have a de facto relationship. So it does take some guidance. We are extremely good at this. We have the runs on the board. We do partner visas all the time. We do them for the Philippines. We've been there and done that. So, yes, we would be delighted to help if that is what you want. So please feel free to contact us. Do one of our online visa assessment forms. And let's see if we can help you. So hope you enjoyed that podcast. And we look forward to talking to you again next time. Thank you.